Good morning. It's great to be together on this Lord's Day. Anytime the gospel is presented, it's a heaven or hell issue. We must consider the things that are said today, and everyone has to make a choice. That's just the way it is. We're thankful that we're able to be here this morning to gather with Christians, to gather around the Lord's table. It's a wonderful opportunity that we have. There is a sheet of paper on the back of your pew. You can pull it out and follow along with the lesson. And there's also some kids, maybe if they're not old enough, maybe they want to color a Bible or something. We have some of those too, but they can follow along also. We have a lot of visitors this morning from the community, and for that we're thankful. We're thankful that we have our dear sisters from the Alcoa Church visiting here with us, and we have Sister Kathy. She's back with us this morning, and I know she probably didn't want me to call her out, but we love you, and we're glad you're here, and many others. And we know there's several traveling today, and Wayne is traveling in gospel meeting. Keep him in our prayers. Many times we hear this phrase, church shopping. We hear that phrase often. You know, it was a phrase that was coined years ago, you know, just shop around for the church of your choice. So if you're here today and you're shopping, maybe we can draw some application from that word church shopping into a spiritual application, and that's what our goal is. Brother David Sproul did our gospel meeting. He conducted our gospel meeting here a couple years ago. And I listen from him from time to time, some of his lessons that he presents. And he presented this lesson, church shopping. And I listened to that lesson and I thought, man, that's a powerful lesson. Everyone needs to hear that. So I thought it would be a great opportunity this morning that we may share this lesson together. When we consider shopping, how many men in the congregation love to shop? How many men in here love to shop, Patrick? So I'll say this, most men don't like to shop. And that's coming from me, and I'll tell you why. I've not been to the mall, a mall, in probably 4 or 5 years up until last weekend. I went to the mall in Augusta, and then this Friday night, I don't know how I got talked into going to Westtown Mall. We had to pick Elena's car up at the Ted Russell Nissan dealership, and Lori's like, let's go over to the mall. And I tell you, it was like I was following her around like a lost puppy. I do not love to shop. Men buy, do we not? Men buy. When we go to Home Depot or Lowe's, we know what we want. We go in and we get it and we get out. You know, I don't go through the lumber yard and say, boy, I'd like to have some 2x6s today or maybe some 2x10s. I have a list. I have a list that I can know ahead of time what I need. But others like to shop, including Patrick. So we're going to tie that, tie that ideal into shopping, church shopping. Do you realize that in our world today, and I'm going to try to narrow it down, but some researchers say that there are 35,000 to 40,000 different denominations. It's a lot. But if it's really boiled down, you can really narrow it down to 300 to 1,000 denominations. That's still a lot, isn't it? I look around our community here today, and I'm trying to think in my head, how many denominations do we have locally? maybe within the 20-mile radius. And I thought maybe there were 15 or 20 different denominations that I could think of right offhand. But I'm going to say this. I'm going to say this before we get any further. One denomination above the one church that God has ordained is one too many. We need to consider that. It's one too many. So, suppose someone is out church shopping because they may have, may be a head of a household, a man with his family, and he sees the condition that the world's in, and he thinks, boy, I think I want to get my family into church. You know, I've heard that a family raised in a church is better off for whatever reason, or maybe they have something in them that drives them to maybe at some point in their life to do better. So they get this idea, well, let's go shop around for a church. How difficult would that be? How difficult would that be if someone was shopping for a church? How long would it take someone to visit each church in this county? It would take a while, wouldn't it? Well, maybe that individual, maybe they know a little bit about the Bible. Maybe they know that there are particular names in the Bible that they could search out to find a name of a church or a particular practice. Or maybe they've even read about the one church in the Bible. So that's where we're going to go with this lesson. We're going to look at some identifying marks of what the church should be, what the church is, and what someone should be looking for. Now, it's helpful, and I'll say this. Lori sent me out, and she didn't know I was going to say this, but sent me out to get her some eye drops. This is about a year ago. She said, get me these eye drops. I did not realize that there are so many different eye drops. So I'm looking at the shelf at the pharmacy, and I'm like, whoa, no preservatives, you know, cool drops, warm drops. And I'm like, I don't know. Send me a picture. So she sent me a picture, and man, that helped. So I had this idea of eye drops when I went into the pharmacy, but when I looked, it was kind of all over the place, and then I get a picture. Oh, those. So I'm good at matching things. You know, when you're a kid, you do that matching game. You have those cards, and you have like giraffe, pig, or whatever. You know, that's kind of the game. Well, I can look at a picture. That sure helped, you know. And husbands, sometimes if you get the privilege to go shop for your wife, like a grocery shopping, a list is nice, is it not? It's nice. So you can go in to the grocery store and I want 8 ounces of this and 4 ounces of this. I want this particular, a list is great. It's great. You know, we have a divine shopping list, and I kind of hate to use it in that way, but if we're shopping for a church, God has given us a list of things to look for when we go to try to find that church. One thing we have to do when we are looking for a church is to consider where the church is made. Where the church is made. The church, the scripture that was read just a moment ago, Daniel chapter 2, verse 44. In the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. When looking for God's original church, we want to look for a church that comes out of prophecy. And there's Daniel telling us that in the days of these kings, speaking of the Roman Empire, God's going to set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. Now, We note that it originated or was made in heaven. We often say, well, the church began at Pentecost, which is true, but it originated in heaven. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So we see that idea that the church is and did originate from heaven. We also note that when we are looking for a church, we need to look for the church of the Bible, obviously, that came from heaven and was established on Pentecost. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 47 gives us this beautiful picture of the church in its infancy when it began. That was of prophecy. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, I will build my church. He was speaking to Peter and the apostles. And when did he build his church? When did it begin? Acts chapter 2. We can clearly see that from Scripture. Luke chapter 24, verse 47, that repentance and remission of sins was to begin at Jerusalem. So if we're shopping for a church, we want to look to where that church originated and was made. We also see that the church had one foundation. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, no other foundation could be laid other than Jesus Christ. So we want to look for that church that was built on the bedrock foundation of Jesus Christ. One thing that we have to consider in finding the original church of the New Testament is it was made in heaven, it was made of God, and it was not made by man. So if I'm church shopping, I want to consider where it was made, where it originated from, and note that we do not look for a church that was started by man. So how many of y'all like name brands? So I'm going to go back to shopping again. If I'm going to look for something that has longevity, like a tool, like a power tool, I will get a name brand. If I'm going to use it one or two times, I'll probably go to Harbor Freight. Sorry, Harbor Freight, but that's just the way it is. If I'm going to get something that's going to last, I'm probably going to get a Milwaukee or a DeWalt or something like that. So we look for name brands. Think about that in a spiritual application. The name matters. The church has a mark of ownership marked by the name. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. There's no other name. There's no other name. So we look for the church with the name. That's pretty obvious. So if we are church shopping, we come to the name, and the name needs to be worn by the individual who built the church. Jesus is the church builder. So Acts chapter 4, verse 12, Peter says there's no other name under heaven by which man can be saved. That is Jesus Christ. He's saying by Jesus' authority. Christ, consider this, Christ is the only one head. He's the head, and we're the body. Christ is the head. So if we're looking for a church, we need to look for that church. Christ is the head, not a man. Christ is the head, and we are the body. So we are to look for the something in the original condition, if I am buying a hairdryer, I fooled you, didn't I? What if you go to CVS and you buy a hairdryer and you get it home and somebody has cut the cord and put an extension cord a little bit longer? Would you take it back? Would you trust it? When we buy something, when we're shopping, we look for something in its original condition. We don't want it to be tampered with. That's the same thing with the Lord's church. We want to go to the Bible. We want to go to the Holy Word of God, and we want to see what that church looked like. We want it in its original condition. The Bible, when we're looking for an original condition, we want to look for a church that uses the Bible as the sole authority. We don't want anything to be tampered with when we're shopping. We sure would not want anything that belonged to God to be tampered with by man. It couldn't be trusted. We want to rely upon the Bible as our sole guide in finding that original church. The Bible's organization, in its original organization, how the church functions, the church has an eldership, the church has deacons, preachers. We also know that the church, if we're looking for it in its original, that they worshiped in a particular way. We did this morning. We come together on the first day of the week as prescribed in Scripture to remember the Lord's death, and we're to do that till He comes again. We sing. We give. Those are the things that are written down for us in Scripture that we can know that it's the right church. Here's something that we really need to consider. When we look in the Scriptures, if we are shopping for a church and we see how the apostles taught, remember in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, they were steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and the breaking of the bread and prayer. What is that? They were steadfast in the apostles' teaching. So we see that moving forward to the through the New Testament, we see what the apostles taught. We don't have a right to change God's plan. Now, if I'm shopping, I have my shopping list. I've fulfilled that shopping list. I go to the checkout aisle. You know, they've got all this stuff here. They got especially candy bars and magazines and whatever else. When I'm shopping, I have the right to add to the shopping list. I can grab a candy bar. After all, I'm paying for it, right? So I can grab. What about when we walk into God's Word? Do we have a right to change anything or add to that shopping list, so to speak? We don't have a right to add anything to God's Word. Galatians chapter 1 tells us that Paul was appalled, really. He said, "I marvel that you are turning away so soon to a different gospel." Paul was basically telling them that, hey, you can't go beyond what is written. You have to stick to the pattern. We have that the class on Sunday morning, Authentic Christianity, and we've talked about the sticking to the pattern. That is commanded by God that we don't go outside of that. Here's something else to consider in looking for that one church of the Bible is the price. You know, when we go shop, we want to look for the best price, right? So if we're looking for something in particular, if we're going to buy, we may wait and see if that goes on sale. We'll try to find the best price. So price is important in shopping. What about in finding the New Testament church? What about the price? What is the price that was paid? The church of the New Testament, Jesus bought that church with his own blood. That was the price. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, Christ gave himself for us. He is our Savior. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23. What was the price of the church? His own blood. If we are looking for a church that aligns with that as presented in the New Testament, there we go back to that little game we played when we were little, matching the cards. If I can't see in faith and practice the identical thing presented in Scripture when we are church shopping, then I probably need to move on. We want to be a part of the Lord's church. Why is it important that we are a part of the Lord's church? Because He, Ephesians 5:23, is the Savior of the body, which is the church, Ephesians 1:22-23. So to be part of the saved, we have to be in the church because Jesus is the Savior, and He promised to build that one church. So He gave His own blood for the church. That was the purchase price. Then we have to consider the saving price. When we're shopping, we want to look for the saving price. Now, we're kind of play on words. What is the saving price on our end? Jesus purchased the church with His own blood. What do we have to do to be part of that church? Some more identifying marks that you may note is God's plan of salvation. You know, when we consider the things that most religious folks teach, good and honest, I believe, teach about God's plan of salvation, it's false. If I'm looking for God's original church, I want to see how that church is saved. I want to see how individuals are added to that church. Acts chapter 2, verse 47, Colossians 1:13. We want to know the terms and conditions of how to enter into that church. The first thing that we need to do to be a part of that church, we see in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, for without faith it's impossible to please God. We have to have faith. We have to have faith in God. We have to have faith that Jesus is the Son of God. We also, as illustrated many, many times in the Scriptures, we have to be willing to turn from sin. We have to be willing to repent of sin. Acts chapter 17, 30 through 31. God commands men everywhere to repent. So repentance is essential. Belief is essential. We must be willing to confess that Jesus is the Son of God. We must be willing to confess that Jesus is the Son of God. And we must be willing to be immersed into Christ. We must be willing to be baptized into Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. by one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. What is the body? It's the church. By one Spirit, by one leading, one direction. What's the sword of the Spirit? It's the Word of God. The Spirit of truth. When the truth is presented, when it is presented to us, we have to respond to the gospel in order to go to heaven. John chapter 3, verse 35. John chapter 3, 3 through 5. Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. He said, unless you are born again, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God unless you're born of water and of the Spirit. Jesus was preaching baptism at this point. In our class on Wednesday night, after class, Erica texted me and she said, man, the whole New Testament, the whole front end of it is just soaking wet. And it's very true. But you know, reality, I thought about that for 2 or 3 days. The whole Bible is soaking wet. If you go all the way back to the day of Noah, you know, like we discussed in class this morning, Noah and the flood pictured God's saving plan. Peter bears that out. He bears it out in 1 Peter 3:21. There's an antitype which now saves us, baptism. One thing that we often don't consider on the front end is counting the cost. You know, Jesus said we have to count the cost. Baptism is really, you're raised to walk in newness of life, but it's just the starting point. We have to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to do that. Once we become a Christian, we have to grow. We have to be faithful to the Lord. Jesus said, he's that put his hand to the plow and turneth back is not fit for the kingdom of heaven. So count the cost. Remember that the church that we should be looking for is the church that comes right out of the New Testament, the one of prophecy. The scripture that was read a moment ago, Daniel chapter 2, verse 44. It will stand forever. As long as this earth is here, the church will stand. Daniel tells us that. Jesus said that he would build his church and the gates of Hades would not prevail against it. So it's going to stand forever. If you're here this morning and you are a Christian and you need the prayers of the church, prayers of the congregation here, I'll be glad to assist you in that. If you're not a Christian, and some of the things that was said here this morning may spark an interest. Maybe you are church shopping. Maybe you want to study a little bit deeper, learn more about the Lord's church, the one that's called by His name in Scripture, Romans chapter 16, verse 16. The churches of Christ salute you. Think about those biblical names. That means so much if you are looking for the church that Jesus established. One of prophecy, one that we see that started, spoken of as being in the future, started in Acts chapter 2. And any time after that in Scripture, you see the church or the kingdom being spoken of as being in existence. In Colossians chapter 1, 13, 12 and 13, that we are added or translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. So if you have a need this morning, please come forward as we stand and sing.